You're listening to The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor.
Good morning, good evening, wherever, whenever you may be listening. I'm John Vogel, and welcome into The John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place for you to start your podcast. It's Monday morning, guys. I feel like it was a relatively quiet week, but that might be because I do take social media off on the weekends most of the time. I just have better things to do on the weekends than sit on social media. And I'll try to keep up with everything going on as much as I can, but if there's nothing serious, I'm not usually very tuned into it. And there wasn't all that much that I thought was very serious over the weekend. But we got a few things that we can get into a little bit. I do want to start with a little short topic that'll hopefully make you laugh and improve your day. And then we're going to get into this players bit right now. The players talking about coronavirus and the NFL's response to it. There were some demands, a bunch of other things that kind of flew around. And also, I think we're going to take a step forward with this podcast. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. We're going to attack this first. All right. Jemele Hill yesterday tweeted. And, I mean, she tweets every day. You never know what she's going to say. Sometimes it's off the wall, absolutely insanely crazy. And other times it's, you know, your typical liberal wannabe politician, I guess. Tweet. I mean, she's a twit, too, but that's beside the point. So you've got Jemele Hill tweeting yesterday, anyone who votes for Donald Trump is a racist. Okay. All right, Jemele. Well, somebody on Outkick remembered back in 2017 when she tweeted about her mom being polar opposite in politics than her. And it turns out that Jemele Hill's mother has voted Republican since post-Clinton. Interesting. So the question was immediately raised. Jemele, are you calling your mom a racist? From what I understand, Jemele Hill has yet to respond. I doubt she will. This is the social media war of 2020. This is just another part of this crazy, odd election year. And people, let's just laugh at this one. The hypocrisy is absolute and utter hypocrisy. I mean, that's what you see. That's what you see on a daily, day-to-day basis. Hypocrisy across the board. And this isn't just with Democrats and liberals. This is with conservatives, too. You see this on both sides of the spectrum. And that's why I may lean more conservative, but I really don't like to associate myself with a certain party. You know, I associate myself with my ideals. There is no party currently that meets all of my ideals. You know, so I don't name a certain party. I don't say I'm Republican or I'm a Democrat or I'm a Libertarian or I'm really just this independent and I will go with whoever is closest to my views, which is usually a Republican. Usually. Anyways, all right. The NFL has started to push forward with the season. They are working with the NFLPA, trying to work out a workout schedule due to COVID. Now, the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs rookies are supposed to and are reporting to training camp today in order to be tested for COVID. Here's the thing. The NFLPA is working out with the NFL a plan to move forward. NFL players are asking for no preseason and 3 weeks of strength and conditioning before they get into contact drills. The NFL is giving them wants to give them an extra week to work out, but they want one preseason game, which would be played the week three slate. Because if you remember, weeks one and weeks four have already been canceled. So the NFL is proposing to the players union to cancel the second game as well. So there would leave 1 week of preseason football. That would be the week three, which is typically your dress rehearsal. And that's that. Now, NFL teams, if you remember, will not be holding 90 players this offseason. They will be holding, I believe, 78. So the roster has been cut down 12 players. That being said, there are going to be several extra practice squad spots. So there will be less players who will be cut at the end of training camp. This was the NFL's attempt to try and make up for the lack of a preseason and give more players the opportunity, and teams who are building right now, trying to figure out who's going to stay on the roster and who's going to go, a little bit less in terms of choices, having to make decisions and keep more people around to continue to, what's a good word to use, to assess. So this is what where the NFL is headed right now. This is what they're trying to get. One preseason game. The NFL players, many star players, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, etc., stood up on social media yesterday making demands for a coronavirus plan. There were several players that said that they feel uncomfortable with playing this season, and cited their reasons why, and why the NFL should be very careful and have a very good contingency plan in place to deal with coronavirus. Here's the thing. If you don't feel comfortable playing this year, my opinion is don't play. This isn't me being, this isn't a smart, you know, response or anything. It's not a, oh, okay, you don't want to do this, well, then, well, no, I'm not being, this is not out of spite, this is not out of hate, this is a, looking at it from a reasonable standpoint, going, if you feel uncomfortable playing during, you know, with coronavirus around, don't play this year. Or put off, or delay when you come back. I feel like this is really simple. Because here's the thing that NFL players are assuming when they play in the NFL, when they play football. This is really not just limited to NFL players. This is any football player. You're risking your health to play football. Because there is a very good chance that you are going to get hurt on the field. I think, personally, the risk of you getting hurt on the field outweighs the risk of coronavirus. But if you want to put the two of them on the same scale, on the same side of it, and you feel like that that's going to provide an imbalance for you to play in your comfort level to play football this year, then just don't play. Take a year off. Work that out with your NFL team. And I don't think NFL teams should hold players, you know, responsible if they don't feel comfortable playing. Then just work out a little deal with them and they don't play. Or give them the option where they can come back at a certain time when they do feel comfortable. Because there's a lot of guys in the league right now that do want to play. And they don't, they feel perfectly comfortable. Regardless, I feel like this is not as serious of an issue as a lot of people tried to make it to be yesterday. Not in the sense of players, you know, feeling uncomfortable about COVID, if that's the case, then fine. You know, I can respect that. What I'm talking about is there were a lot of people in the media and in several other aspects of sports that tried to blow this up and try to be like, look, the NFL is about to screw this up. Well, if the NFL is about to screw it up, the NBA is already screwed up, and the MLB is already screwed up, and MLS is already screwed up, and NHL is already screwed up. Look, everybody's coming back, all right? Everybody, all the major sports are coming back. They're back to playing. The MLB just started up again. MLS has been going. NHL is coming up. Oh, man, when hockey starts again, I'm going to be all into that. I'll be honest with you. I'm really excited about this hockey. And then the NBA is going to be starting up in their bubble. You know, so there's all these other teams, I suppose. I mean, all these other leagues have already screwed up. And there's so much fear-mongering and there's so much just disdain and negativity that's being spread around in sports media. It's, we try to blow all these things out, way out of proportion. People like simple solutions to problems, okay? If you can provide a simple solution that makes everybody happy, then that's that. I feel like the simple solution to this is if you don't feel comfortable playing football this year because of coronavirus, don't play. That's it. Or hold off when you return to the field until you feel comfortable to play. I just don't see why this is all that complicated. But we're going to take a break with that when we come back. Going to get into a couple more things, probably a little bit of speculation. Talk about what we've been covering up to this point, the supposed exodus of transfers that will be happening now with several conferences canceling their out-of-conference games. So we'll get into that and more on the John Vogel Show. Welcome back to the John Vogel Show, presented by Anchor, the best place to start your podcast. Are you looking to start a podcast? If you are, get on Anchor right now. Check it out. They will help you monetize your podcast immediately, get it up on all the major platforms, and it's effortless. All you have to do is record, hit play, go through their settings, bam, you are going. You are gold. And with that being said, let's start to get into this transfer stuff, because this is a topic that I thought was going to be very interesting, mostly because of the concerns, I suppose, that were raised by Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl director on Twitter, who pointed out after Troy Poljan decided to transfer from Central Michigan that we could be seeing a lot of group of five borderline prospects transferring to other schools this year. And to an extent, we have New Mexico State, which is an independent school. They're not a part of a conference. They're just a low-key independent school. Lost their linebacker, Roy Lopez, who transferred to Arizona. And Lopez is probably one of, if not the only, NFL-type prospect that was on that team. So he's gone to Arizona. Now, here's where the little twist came in. Arizona is part of the Pac-12, who canceled their out-of-conference games. They lost their linebacker, Tony Fields II, last week as he entered the transfer portal and is presumably appears to be looking east. This allowed for Arizona to pick up Roy Lopez out of the transfer portal once he committed. Fields left, Lopez came. And that's kind of where we're at right now. So we haven't seen too many so far. Those have been the only three, I think, that I've seen. But it's interesting to note that they are, that one of the people leaving, one of the players that transferred out quickly, was out of the Pac-12. Now, we haven't seen this with the Big Ten. The Big Ten
as a conference as a whole right now is one of the best in America. So if you're in the Big Ten, you're set. Now, when you look at the Pac-12 and compare it to the other conferences, it's easily the worst of the group of five. It is borderline close to a group of five conference. They and the AAC, the American Athletic Conference, is very close right now. And that's not a pot shot. That's not a, I hate the Pac-12. That is a fact. Because if you look at their top schools right now, who are their top schools? Well, their number one brand is USC, and USC struggles to win five games a year right now, or seven games a year. This year, they're going to struggle to hit five because they got to play everybody else and they don't have any other conference games. Oregon. Washington used to be there. Washington's not there anymore. Washington State doesn't have Mike Leach anymore. Utah. Yeah, I guess they're pretty good. But they don't have any of the elite big brands, you know, like Alabama, Clemson, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma. They don't. Pac-12 struggling. That's all there is to that. The Pac-12 is struggling. I can't help but wonder if we're going to see more guys leave the Pac-12 and go east. It is a very real possibility. I do think that we will see a few more Group of Five guys transfer. Trying to go to bigger schools if they're redshirt seniors. Can't take a redshirt year. I think you're going to see a few guys with that redshirt this year take a year off, maybe the true seniors, and try to come back next year. I think these are some of the things that you're going to see across the board. And it makes sense. You have to make a business decision. If you're on a borderline NFL prospect, your best chances are really, unless you play for Alabama or in the SEC, top SEC school, Clemson, top Big Ten school, top Big 12 school, unless you play for one of them, your best chances are coming back next year, for sure. Here is a thought for you to think about. What if the Group 5 schools and the FS and the FCS moved their games, their conference games, to the spring? Now, it would suck for anyone who is an NFL draft prospect, because it would effectively eliminate their chances of being drafted this year. But you would have a supplement draft. And the XFL should not be making a return this year. They are working on a return, by the way. But I don't think that they'll try to come back next year. If anything, that'll be 2022. So you have a year where you can get spring football. And, well, why not play the Group of Five and the FCS games? This is something that Bruce Feldman brought up. Now, I know that there are certain people that don't like spring football, and that's fine. That's your opinion. You are 110% entitled to it. I am not going to argue that. Because I do see how that wouldn't be appealing to a lot of people. How you wouldn't want that. I do see that. I do understand. I see it from a business standpoint. I see the ratings that it would bring on TV. It would be, they would have better ratings, honestly, than the XFL or the AAF ever had. So it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and move the games there, get that extra exposure, and come back in the fall with everyone else. But the only time that you're going to do that, the only time that you're going to make that move and you're going to make that switch and that change is when all the big, the Power Five schools cancel their out-of-conference games. Only then, at that point, would you consider start moving everyone into the spring. Now, remember, Ivy League, already there. There was another conference, one of the FCS conferences, that canceled football entirely. But right now, it's the Ivy League that's in the spring, so we'll see how everything plays out. The SEC, the Big 12, and I believe the ACC are all trying to figure out a way to get into this college football season without giving up their out-of-conference games. They're working on it. I think moving all the other conferences, the other games to the spring would be a great move. And you would get a lot of people to watch. It'd be a good way to get those athletic programs going again, especially at all those smaller schools that need the revenue, because now you're not going to be competing with Power Five schools for ticket sales and everything. You know, you're going to pull some of those people to you. No, yeah, there's a lot of good things that could come out of it, and it would be better. It might not be the best thing for college football, but it would be the best thing for college athletics as a whole. And it would help fund a lot. And I mean a lot of these schools. Anyways. Here's the thought. And if you want to shout back at me on social media, do whatever, and give me what you're thinking and how you would react if you would listen, shoot me a DM, do whatever you're going to do. But here is my thought. What if my phone just went crazy there for a second. What if the John Vogel show took appeared in the morning and the evening, Monday through Friday? So you would have the 20 to 30 minute episode in the morning, and then you would have another 10, 15 minute episode at night, would be, 0.5. So if I were to do that today, it would be 14.5 at night. And that would just be like a quick little roundup on everything that had happened during the day. Shoot me your thoughts. Tell me if you listen. It's something that I'm thinking about doing, and I would like the listener input on it to tell me if that is something that I should do. Because this show right now is growing, and I appreciate all of you that is listening. We're doing a pretty good job right now. And once we get to a certain point, I do want to get listeners involved again on a much larger scale than what I had initially planned with when I was back at Draft Row. I like getting listeners involved. I like getting other people involved. I think that's what makes a lot of this fun. Also, I think that it helps, with you guys answering questions, kind of trying to get the scoops on things for you. That's what makes this fun, is doing it for somebody. And so, as soon as I feel like this listener base has gotten better, and it's at a very good level, I do want to start getting you all back involved again. So let me know what you think. Shout out at me on social media, Twitter, Parler, whatever, at John D.A. Vogel. Hit, if you can, shoot me a DM. Do whatever you got to do. But thank you all for tuning into the show. That's about all the time we have for today. Now listen. Y'all have a good Monday. All right. The world's crazy. Everything gets nuttier by the day, so it seems. It's just, it's insane. All right, so we all could use a little sanity and a little peace. All right? So keep doing what you're doing. Stay strong. Push through. Fight. Never give up. God love y'all. Peace out.